I love this story of Deborah. I love it, love it, love it. And if you've ever, I will tell you, the first time I saw that Lord of the Rings scene, I was like, I feel like that's a, like a story in the Bible. I'm like, wasn't there like a woman who did that? And then like something great happened. And so I referenced it. And sure enough, it was that clip right there where she says, I am no man. No man can kill me. And then she says, I am no man. And I know you guys are probably thinking like it's going to be an estrogen fest today in the church, but it is not. I promise it is not going to be an estrogen fest today. But we are in a series called Legacy Leaders, and we're pulling out some of those leaders in the Bible that are really just really great characters that we want to emulate. Maybe they did great things. We talked about Miriam last week and how Miriam was an amazing woman. She messed up, but she was restored back into the community. And so today we're going to talk about Deborah and her being that legacy leader. I am not going to read all of that chapter to you. It is Judges chapter 4. The reason why I wanted it read for me is because it's mostly in Hebrew and I can barely read in English. And so that wasn't going to work for us for today. So if you have time later on in your study or devotion time, go back and read the full story. But today I kind of want to just paraphrase for you because we didn't get into it. So I want to paraphrase for you the story of Deborah. And what was happening is Judges chapter 4. It talks about how the Israelites had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And it was evil that we don't know about. Maybe it doesn't really define what that evil was. But we do know that there was a lot of idol worship that had entered into Israel's, you know, just instead of worshiping Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they were, but they were also introducing all of these other things in. And some of those other gods did things like offered up children as sacrifices and had prostitutes in the temple that these priests would sleep with. And so there was a very demonic, corrupt, sexually immoral practice that was happening during that time. And so we know if the Lord calls it evil, it's evil. We don't have to define what it is. It's evil. If it's sin, it's sin. So we know that there was sin happening in Israel at this time. So what the Lord says is, I'm going to take you, Israel, unfortunately, and allow you to go back into a season of oppression. And the Bible actually calls this ruthless oppression, which I thought was interesting because I'm like, man, I don't know if I've ever read in the scriptures where it's been ruthless oppression. But nevertheless, they were placed in what the Bible calls ruthless oppression. And during this time, Deborah was a judge of Israel. So the way that Israel was set up, because God was God, they had judges that would judge the affairs of people. They didn't have a king at that time. So the judges would judge during that time. And Deborah was one of those judges. And the Bible says that for 20 years, they were oppressed by Sisera, however you say it. So for 20 years, they were oppressed by him. And then finally, they repented. After 20 years, finally they repented. Think about your life from the moment that you were saved, from the moment that you said, yes, Jesus, I accept you into my heart. Have there been hard lessons that you've had to learn even in that season? Yes. Has there been hard seasons that we've learned? Even following Christ, we've walked through those difficult seasons where you're like, I know I'm being taught something in this season. So today, I really want to kind of frame out and take a different perspective on those seasons of life, on what we look at as those teaching moments when God puts us in a timeout for a reason. That's really what I want to focus on today. So anyway, so let's go back to Deborah. So all of a sudden, after 20 years, they repent, and she goes it was basically like a general of Israel. And she goes into him, and she says, Barak, I think it's time for us to take authority over this oppressor, and we're going to take the land, and God's going to give it to us. And so he says to her, okay, I will go, but only if you go with me. And she says, I will go, but I'm going to just let you know this. You're not going to receive honor for this victory because it's going to come in a very uncommon way. It's going to come through a woman. And so, again, the estrogen in the room says, amen. And so, long story short, God does deliver Israel during that time. And not only did that battle, they won the battle through that season, but what happened, and we didn't read it, so I'm just going to share it with you. The way that they won that battle is that Sisera went into someone's house to hide, and he thought it was a friend. And he covered himself with a blanket. And he was so weary from battle and so weary from fighting that she said, just lay down, I'll cover you with a blanket. And if anybody comes, they won't be able to see you. And so what happens is he lays down, he covers himself with a blanket, and he goes to sleep. And he's so weary from battle that he falls asleep. And she takes a tent peg and drives it through his forehead. Yes, I love it. I love it. I would never do it because that's gross, but I love it. And it just makes you, it gives you this, you know, feeling of victory, like, come on, God, in an uncommon way. It wasn't that they slice and dice each other on the battlefield, right? It was that it was an uncommon way. And she was obedient. And Deborah was obedient. And all of those warriors were obedient at the right moment in time, in the right place in history, for God to use all of their lives to win a battle. And that actually says, the Bible said, it started the Israelites on a pattern of winning. I love that. It started them on a pattern. It took one victory for them to be like, okay, what's next? Where's my next victory coming? What's coming next, God? Okay, I saw you do it there. Okay, now I'm ready okay, challenge me with greater, Lord. So you asked me to give up this. Okay, what's next? Because I saw you bless me in this season. So I'm ready to take a step forward with you. And I wanna kind of reframe out some of those places in our life. Because just like when we're in school, and when we're learning, our brain is changing, physically changing. They can see the chemistry of it changing when you're in school and when you're learning. The same is true when we're in a spiritual lesson. Our spirit man is changing. We're becoming more like Christ, less like me, more like Christ. And that's the purpose of it when he says, I'm changing your old nature. But that doesn't mean that we don't have to go through seasons where it's difficult, where we're learning a lesson. And so today, I want to talk to you about some of those seasons. And Deborah's life is so amazing because she showed bravery. She showed courage in a season of Israel's life where they were oppressed and where they were tormented. But she said, no, 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 I hear from the Lord. He's ready. Let's go. And so I think there are three lessons that we can really target in on and focus in on when we are in those seasons. Because if you are alive today, and from the time that you go to heaven, from now, you will be in a season of learning at some point in time. If you're not in one right now, I feel like I am in a season of learning right now, where God has positioned me somewhere, and I'm like, okay, there are certain things, Mom talked about it today in Team Rally, there are certain things that the Holy Spirit is teaching, like, yes, you can say this, no, you may not say that. There are some of us that are just really used to saying whatever we want, whenever we want to. And the Holy Spirit is roping me in a little bit and saying, you're not going to say that right now. How about you do it a little bit nicer, Misty, right? So sometimes we have to go through those seasons. The first thing I want you to focus on and write down is that when you're in a season of learning, that we don't move until he says move. We don't move until he says move. Let me say it like this. If God didn't tell you to do it, hang tight. Just hang tight. Hang tight. There's a reason why. There's a reason why. And if you think about it, in this season, the reason why the Israelites were in that situation is because they had done evil, which means all that evil in their hearts needed to be cleaned up before they could move forward. So God had a purpose in putting them in that timeout and putting them in that season of learning. For some of you in here, you may be sitting in a season and you may be saying, I feel like I'm being challenged at every step of the way right now. I feel like everything in my life has been turned upside down and I'm being challenged. And I want to tell you this. Stop looking at it like punishment and start looking at it like lessons learned. Look at it like that. Reframe it out in your mind. Because he's not punishing you, he's teaching you how to look more like his son. Because to be honest with you, this is where we get it wrong sometimes. When we are Christians, we believe that this life is preparation for reigning in eternity. But those of you or those people that are not saved, this is their reigning season. This is it. Because when they wake up from this life, they wake up in hell and they will submit. But that's not us. Because what we believe is that we're going through a little bit of hell here on earth because we're going to have heaven in heaven. okay? So that's how we're going to frame it out in our mind. If God is shaving off those selfish nature and desires inside of you, it's because he loves you so much. Don't ever look at that season of you know, training as if, man, he's punishing me, he's mad at me, he's angry at me. He knows you. He created you. He developed those inner parts of who you are. He knows how to get you to submit to him. He knows what needs to happen in order to bless your life. And so sometimes we just have to look at it just a little bit differently. But if we're being honest in here, I think most of the battles we face in our life are the Lord shaving off our rogue emotions, our selfish desires, and I think he's teaching us to submit our will in most of the battles we face. You know, we want to bang on the floor and speak in tongues and scream at the devil and get all crazy and mad and angry and blame everything on the enemy. And I think some of it might just be our will. I think some of it might just be our will. And he's having to take that will and saying, could you just get in line with what I'm asking you to do? Because there's blessing on the other side of that. And maybe you didn't have a great earthly father. I'm one of those people. And maybe you don't quite fully understand what it looks like to have a father truly love you and value you and care for you. But I'm telling you that after, I don't want to say how many years of submitting to the Lord and just letting him love me as a father, I can tell you that when he asks me to do something now, I might be a little bit upset, but I know he's got good for me. I know it. So when you see that over and over again in your life and you just keep submitting to him, okay, God, I don't understand. I'm a little frustrated right now, but I know you have a purpose in this. When you do that over and over again, it's easier to submit your will because you know your good, pleasing, and heavenly Father has a good plan for you. You can trust that. He promises it. Practically, the way that that looks, when we don't move, and unless he says move, what that looks like is that I don't buy that house unless God tells me to. Weird, right? I don't buy that car unless God tells me to. That means I don't tell my kids what they can and can't do every single step of the way and try to control their life because I want to control it. I got to let them live as God has called them to live. It means they may not do what you want them to do in the future, mom and dad. I'm sorry. And we have to just wrestle that in our flesh. We have to be okay with the fact that my kid may be a painter. God bless you. And I might have to help out financially with them the rest of their life. You know what I mean? Like there's things in our emotions that we want for our kids. Like, I want my kid to be a CEO of a company. And your kid is like, likes to color and play Play-Doh. That's not the thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have to real expectations for our families in those moments. And just that thought of, I don't move unless he says move, that means I don't take on responsibility for things that are not mine to take on, that I let him be God. I just let him do what he does best. The second thing is there are more with you than against you. Everybody likes to amen that, right? Because we wanna shout that down, right? Or we've heard that so much that we become desensitized to the fact that there are more with us than against us. But in that battle scene, one of the things that I love so much about that is that when you think about that, everybody around her was fighting. Everybody around her was fighting. And it all of a sudden zeroes in on that one thing. And she's the only woman on that battlefield. She's the only one that can destroy that, whatever it was, Nazgul, right? Am I saying it right? Okay. Whatever he was. She's the only one. And it's such a beautiful picture to me of when God puts something in front of you that he says, okay, we're going to deal with this right here. We got to deal with this. It might be your fleshy nature, it may be the enemy, whatever it is, but there are more people around you fighting to keep off all of that other junk so that you can focus in on what God has you to do in that season. So think about it in this way. You may be fighting one really big situation. You may be fighting one huge fleshy desire in that season, but there are so many other angels around you fighting so that you can do what God has called you to do in that season. They're covering you. They're making sure that there's no one coming from behind you. Church, you got to see with spiritual eyes, because what happens is we start to do what we normally do. We start to nitpick at this and that and here and this doesn't look like I want it to. And this is, and God's saying, if you would just raise your eyes and look above, I'm doing something totally different. And what you're focused on is silly. It's ridiculous, because I have something so much bigger for you. And really, if you could just face this situation in front of you right now, I just keep hearing this, like, if you're dealing with a spirit of pornography, you got to fight that thing. You got to fight that thing. And so God will hold back all that other junk in your life so you can focus on exactly what I need to do. I got to focus on this. This is what the Lord has called me to do right now. I'm taking authority over this so my kids don't deal with this, so my family doesn't deal with this. You got to see with eyes of faith in seasons like that, because he's got more for you, more for you. Judges 4, 14 and 15 says this, "Then Deborah said to Barak, 'Get ready. This is the day the Lord will give you victory over Sisera. For the Lord is marching ahead of you.' So Barak led his 10,000 warriors down the slopes of Mount Tabor into the battle. When Barak attacked, the Lord threw Sisera, his chariots, and his warriors into a panic." And that's why we don't move unless God moves. Because when he says move, all of heaven goes with us. And there are some seasons of our life that we have decided, I'm done with this season. I'm done with it. I'm not dealing with that anymore. I'm not focusing on it. I'm not fighting that battle anymore. I'm done with it. And God's saying, if you would just hang on a little bit longer, I promise you, you're going to get the victory over it. But we've decided we are out of that season, and there's been Ishmaels birthed in our lives that we are still dealing with to this day, because we wanted to take matters into our own hands. No, I decide when I'm done with this season. And God's saying, I know, but in you, when you walk into the next season, that same demon is going to be standing right there dealing. You're going to have to deal with it then. So you might as well deal with it right here. You might as well deal with that hard-hearted nature right here, because it's about you and God and you going further than you did before. Further into all that he has for you, not just part of what he has for you. Richie and I talk about this all the time. When we get to heaven, I think one of the saddest, happiest times of your life is going to be that, like, yay, I made it. But then, like, God showing you, like, this is all that I had for you, but you chose to just do this. That's going to be a sad day, I think. It will be, because there are so many things that you're on the precipice of breakthrough, church. You are on the precipice of breakthrough. And if you would just hold a little bit tighter, take a new firm grip on a little bit tighter, I'm telling you, God is going to restore things that you were like, oh, I'm never going to get that time back. And God's saying, false. I'm over all of time. You get it back, baby. You get it back. And the money that the enemy stole from you, or that season that felt hard and difficult that you ended up paying out in medical bills, he's saying, nope, I got it all covered. Don't you worry about it. You just stay faithful to what I have you do. I'm telling you, there are some of you in here today who are dealing with stuff, and the Lord is saying, just grip on a little bit tighter. Your breakthrough is coming. I promise you. The third thing is, your victory is coming in uncommon ways. Uncommon ways. A woman driving a tent peg through a man's skull is not common. Unless it's like a Lifetime show, it's not common, okay? So it snapped, exactly. Unless it's that show, it's not common. So I want you to think about it in terms of, okay, what avenues is God actually blessing me in this season that I'm not focused on? Take a look at those things around you, those avenues that he's using to bless you, and focus on those. Because in those moments, you might be saying, I feel very defeated right now. But God is showing you that, like, your finances are good. Your kids are good. You may not have one thing in this life, or you may be dealing with one issue, but there are other things, other ways, uncommon ways that God is blessing you in this season. Focus on those. Think about those. Think about those things that God is blessing you. She's not here today, but last year, Toby told us this story. And she had purchased a Jeep maybe like 3 years ago, right? She purchased this Jeep and she loved this Jeep. Toby is not here today, but if she was, she would tell you the story herself. But Toby loved this Jeep. It was like her dream car. It was her dream car. And she, it was at a very emotional purchase for her. Very emotional purchase. All the CPAs in the room are like, don't do it. But it was a very emotional purchase for her. So she buys the Jeep. And then for 2 years, financially, she struggled. For 2 years, financially, she struggled. And she was like, you know, never even thinking like the Jeep is the issue, right? It's like, I gotta work more. I gotta work harder. I gotta do all these things. And she was toiling and it was just not enough. And she was always short and it was just a battle. Until one day we were sitting, I guess, in church. And she said, the Lord spoke to her and said, sell the Jeep. And she was like, well, Lord, I love that car. This is my dream car. And she just kept feeling like that's what she needed to do. And so that week, like talk about obedience, right? That week, she went out, sold the car. She got more than, I think, more than what she paid for it or something. She put a great down payment on a smaller car, great gas mileage. And Toby just told Richie and I a couple of weeks ago at Fit Camp that she is almost debt-free by the end of the year. In 1 year, God did that, but it was because of her obedience in an uncommon way. Most people would say, no, sell your house. Why would you sell your dream car? You know what I mean? Most people would say something like that, like sell a kid or, you know, a leg or something, right? But Toby heard the Lord and she wanted to be obedient to that. And because of that, I do believe that one day Toby will have her dream car, but I believe she'll be able to pay cash for it. That's what I believe. That's what I believe. And I think those uncommon ways, maybe God's blessing you with an opportunity to earn a little bit more extra by working a second job or by doing something that you love and earning a little extra. Maybe God is challenging you in this season, work less and spend more time with your kids. Those uncommon blessings that God has called you to. Don't be afraid to step into those seasons. We're talking about this because Deborah was a legacy leader, because of what she was able to do, how she was able to challenge the army to go forward. And this story, if you can do Bible math, which I'm not great at, I had to Google it in order to be able to do this. But this story was almost 5,000 years ago. We're talking about Deborah 5,000 years later because of her obedience to the Lord. And I want to challenge you today, church. What are people going to be talking about you 5,000 years from now? Will it be anything? Will it be that you had great faith? Will it be that you were lazy? Will it be that you were apathetic? Or will it be that you were strong and that you were powerful, that you believe God and that you were faithful? My girls and I do this little game in the morning, and after we pray and put on the armor. We have these little cards mom bought us in the car, and it's just kind of like Q&A questions for, you know, for when you're driving in the car with your family. And they're cute little questions. And the other day, the question was, if you could meet one person from your ancestry, who would it be? And both of my girls, without, like almost in unison, said, Papa. And I thought, Papa? That's so weird. That's my mom's dad. My mom's dad. He's passed away. He's been in heaven for like 19 years now. And I was like, Papa, why Papa? And they're like, Mom, you talk about him all the time. And I had no idea that I really talked about him that often. I was like, I do. They're like, yeah, you told us this story. And then they said this story and then this story. And you talk about him all the time. You talk about what a great dad he was and what a da-da. And I thought to myself while I was preparing for this message, man, 19 years later, they've never met him. And he's the one person they want to meet because his legacy outlasted his physical presence. And I think that about Deborah, but I think that about you. I think that your legacy, if you can just align it with God's will, is going to outlast your presence here on earth. I think God's called all of us. If you're a Christian, if you're a parent, if you're a spouse, God has called your legacy to outlive you. And if you can do that, if you can just align your spirit with his, if you can become that legacy leader that he's called you to be, it will definitely outlast that. Let's stand. Band, if you want, come up. So let's just remind ourselves of a couple of things. In those moments when we're going through those trying seasons where we feel like the Lord has positioned us to learn our lesson or to learn a lesson in those times, let's remind ourselves of the three things. We move when he says move. We're going to regularly remind ourselves that there is more with us than against us. That means if I'm dealing with something, if I'm fighting that battle in that moment, that all of heaven is fighting alongside of me so that I can do exactly what God has called me to do in that season. You may be weary. You may be battle-worn. You may feel a little tired, but hang on a little tighter because God is going to show up and he's going to show out in that season and he's going to get the glory and you're going to be restored. And everything that the enemy has taken from you, every relationship that you feel like you've lost out on, he's gonna restore that. I promise you, if you stay faithful. And the third thing is, are you prepared for those uncommon blessings, those uncommon places of victory, where God is gonna show up in your season, where he's gonna financially provide for you like maybe you've never seen him provide for you, where maybe he's going to show you a little glimpse of his heart and the good father that he is. Maybe he's trying to restore your relationship with a loved one. Whatever it is in that season, just hang on a little tighter. He's got more for you, church. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness, God. Lord, we thank you for those seasons, Lord, of learning, of testing, of trying, because we know that you're producing something inside of us. Lord, I pray that we do not have a spirit that grumbles or complains during those times, God, but that we are faithful. Lord, we appreciate your discipline. We appreciate the places you've positioned us, God, because we know if you've called us to the battle, then that means we've already got the victory. We thank you for that. We praise you, God, for your faithfulness. Lord, I pray for each person in this room. I pray for each person that's not in this room today, God. Lord, that your anointing would be upon them. God, that your spirit would break through. Lord, that they would hear you in such a clear, clear way. Lord, that even this week, God, as they walk out their salvation, Lord, as they live more for you, Father God, and as they submit more of their will to you, Lord, I pray that you would open up the windows of heaven. God, that you would pour out a blessing on your people, Father God. I thank you, Lord, for the church at large, God, the church at large. Lord, we pray that the church would rise up and be who you've called it to be in this season. We thank you, God, that we do not serve a God who is weak, a God that is powerless. Lord, I thank you that you don't stand by and look at what the enemy is doing. Lord, I thank you that you are moving and you are positioning your church and your people, God, to receive all that you have for us. We thank you for that today. In Jesus' name, amen.